How you doing? Holla at your boy. This is Len, a.k.a. The Bat Tribble. And as always, I am joined in this beautiful studio by...
What's up? What's up? What's up? Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it is Kennedy, also known as that Mikey chick, also known as Storm Tribble. I'm so excited right now. I can't stand it.
Back again for the first time like I never left. I am the man, the myth, the legend, Master Tribble, E-Mac. How you feeling, Tribble Nation?
You know, I spin nerd webs of any size. I'll geek out, so yo, give me the prize. It's your boy, Jay Rich, despite a Tribble.
What up, what up, what up? If you're all writing or if you're all reading, your man, our son, the voice of reason, a.k.a. Super Tribble, a.k.a. your new best friend on the playground, in the joint.
And we want to welcome you all to a brand new experience coming your way on WHYY as they dipped their toe into the world of podcasts and they reached out into the city of brotherly love and they went to the podcast that won the recent 2014 Philadelphia Geek Award for the streaming media project of the year, which is us, the
Black Tribbles. Your Black Tribbles.
Your Black Tribbles.
Yes. You can have us.
Yep. Yes, we can be yours. Ladies and gentlemen, we want to take an opportunity to introduce you to a fantastic artist here in Philadelphia who has he's a cartoonist, a writer, a professor, actually. I remember him when he was merely just a little teacher, teaching Saturdays, teaching people how to draw comic books at Cheltenham High School. Oh, how the mighty have risen. Now he is a professor at Moore College of Art, Arcadia University.
Ooh.
He is a well-respected, he's a three-time Glyph Award winner.
Yes, I knew that.
Yes.
Girl.
That's how we do here in Black Tribbles. Nothing but awards, son.
You know right? I mean, everybody got awards here. Everybody got awards.
But only three times? Like only three times?
For now. For now.
All right.
If y'all could have seen him in here.
As long as my man got aspirations.
it's going down.
Awards.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Great awards.
Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together and welcome inside the studio and onto Tribble Nation writer, artist, my friend, Jamar Nicholas. What's up, brother?
Hey. How's everyone? Thanks for having me. I'm really excited.
Jamar,
how
you doing, man?
Thanks. I'm great. This is awesome. I'm real happy for you guys. I'm happy to be part of this. Oh, emo tears.
Thank you.
But yeah, no, I'm really excited. This is awesome.
Well, thank you, man. And it's been a long time coming, just like, you know, Randy said and everybody said, man, you've been a part of our world for I don't know how long. We always run into you at Epoch and Wizard World, always doing big things, you know, and you've been drawing cartoons since, I don't know, you've probably been drawing cartoons since you were like, five?
A little shorty, a little snot nose, yeah. I you know, for most people who draw, you know, you probably start when you're a kid.
Yeah.
And you just keep it going until somebody, or unless someone stops you. That's usually what happens. So, yeah, I think I've been drawing since I was maybe 4 or 5 or something like that.
You remember what your first drawing was?
No. Probably scribbles.
Just scribbles?
Yeah. That's Scribble Tribble. I like that.
Do we have a Scribble Tribble?
For some reason.
No, I don't think we do.
I don't think we do.
I ain't heard of one yet.
I don't think we do.
Oh, that is still hold up. I'm still calling shenanigans though, because we, like you say, we've been on the air since what? 2011. It's not until we get on WHYY.
How many conventions
have we seen this dude at? Y'all grew up with this, bro. Like,
but let it be said that I have been on the show.
Yes.
Yes, you have.
I have called been on the in. Show. I've been a call-in guest.
Yes.
Right. Which is why I don't understand how he's just not getting a Tribble designation.
The man is busy. If anyone doesn't know about Jamar Nicholas, every time you see him, even when we see him at the conventions, no matter how many people are around his table, he's always looking down because he's always drawing. He's always
crying
something or crying. Yes, the man is a bucket of tears.
I'm a Pisces. It's part of it.
What?
Yeah, I've seen him sign like 3 autographs at once before.
I know, man.
Weird. With 3 pens. It's crazy.
Just a beast like that. Now, like I said, what I remember when you used to like teach comic book art at Cheltenham High School, man, during the summer.
Yeah.
That was the beginning. I mean, that was a way back, man.
Well, you know, I started teaching Maybe a little bit before that, when I was still in college at UArts here in town, I started my first summer in teaching at art camp.
Really?
I don't know if any of you guys ever heard of art camp.
Yes, I've heard of art camp.
And I went to art camp when I was
a
kid.
This one time at art camp?
Yeah, this one time at art camp. And somehow I just remember having so much fun there and trying to, you know, I got really attached to the place. So I wound up working there. That was my first teaching gig.
Really?
And that was 91, something like that.
When did you make the turn? Because as an artist, you sometimes can get lost in yourself because it is such a, you know, a insular work. You know, you're by yourself drawing at the pad all the time.
Yeah.
When did you make the turn from being by yourself to wanting to share that gift out?
You know what? I think it was somewhere around when I was in high school, I went to Kappa. Like the old Kappa where they
used
to break necks.
That's right.
In front of the place. But yeah, so around there, what was really interesting about my time at Kappa is that I was trying to be a cartoonist. That's what I wanted to do. They were not feeling that.
Really?
They were not supportive of that at all. Like my teachers, I had one teacher who was like on the low supportive of what I was trying to do. Like he'd see me after class and go, all right, look, this is how you draw the head.
Right.
And you draw the feet like this.
Is that because cartooning just wasn't seen as, you know, respected?
Yes.
Like it is now?
Yeah. I mean, that was huge. And that's what really makes the world we live in right now so interesting.
Yeah.
Because it was not like that. Now, you know, there's art classes and, you know, all these places you can learn to be a comic book artist.
Mm-hmm.
That it wasn't popping like that when I was a kid. And I really tried to stick to my guns, but I felt like when I got a chance, I wanted to try to give back. Because I remember feeling like helpless.
Not having anybody champion you.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember when you were doing that at Cheltenham, that was very well received, man.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
You were doing...
I don't think I knew what I was doing. I mean, I wasn't like I had lesson plans. And, you know, I was like, all right, let's draw some buildings today.
Right.
You know, people were really into it because you could see that people were hungry for that information and there was nowhere to get it at that point. But now, you know.
Yeah, because probably for a long time, the biggest school for teaching comic art was probably Joe Kubert's.
Yeah, school. There was Kubert, but I never thought Kubert was a real place. Like you used to see Kubert ads in the back of the comic books.
They were in every comic book.
Right, and I thought it was like, you know, X-ray specs. I didn't think it was a real thing. You know what I mean? So I never really thought about applying there or going there. I wanted to go to SVA in New York.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
You know, I'm a true Philly cat. I couldn't go to New York. I was just like, but that's in New York, though. You know, so as they have a cartooning section, a degree for that.
Right.
And I just figured I'd stick it out here in town and got into UArts for animation. But I never really wanted to animate. I think it's informed my style at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But I never really wanted to be like a wrist that animated.
You never wanted to go the animated route?
No, you know what? I figured at some point that my stuff would get turned into moving words and
by somebody else.
Right. And I could direct. That's exactly what I was thinking about when I was in school, but I didn't want to be that dude drawing a candlestick 3,000 times.
right.
And, you know, it's tough. That's a tough road. Some of my best buddies are animators out in L.A., and I don't know how they do it, but, you know, that wasn't really what I was going for. I always wanted to be a comic book artist. And really, at the beginning, I wanted to be a comic strip artist.
Yeah.
As I grew up, I didn't grow up really doing the whole comic book thing. I kind of grew into that later.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just a strictly strip guy. Like
three panels?
Yeah, like Doonesbury and like Bloom County and, you know, Peanuts, that kind of stuff.
Wow. Now you just went like Doonesbury, Bloom County. You can kind of see like similar influences there.
Yeah.
And then you go
.
Peanuts.
But
that's the grandfather.
Yeah, I respected his game. You know what I mean? It's like, yo, it's one dude who did that for like 50 years.
Yeah.
You talked about you wanted to be like a comic strip artist.
Mm-hmm.
And you've made a name for yourself here in Philadelphia.
Thanks.
You know what I mean? I mean, anytime you talk about cartooning, like even from the Philadelphia Cartoonist Society or just cartooning in general in Philadelphia,
mm-hmm.
your name is usually one or two that come on the list.
Wow, that's crazy to hear.
It is, man, for real. I mean, there's like one degree of separation from you. Everybody knows you.
Well, you know, it's really interesting with me because I started getting into comic books. I first started self-publishing in 7, mm-hmm. I think. And that's kind of how I crossed paths with Randy, was I just started touring, so to speak, and doing
comedy. What book were you signing? Was that?
That was the Jamar Chronicles. Chronicles.
Right.
I still have those, dude.
You still have those?
Fam, I still got the t-shirt, dude.
Oh, my goodness.
I still got the t-shirt with the ball and holding the book.
That's what's up.
Yep.
But, yeah, I started there because I went the route of trying to get syndicated in the comic strips, and that was, at the time, was like winning the lottery.
Yeah, for real.
Because nobody's coming out of the papers, and maybe one or two people will come into the papers like every 2 or 3 years.
Right.
So, you know, I put out a couple of really bad pitches for comic strips, and it was probably mirroring what I was doing at the time. Like, I had to strip about like a young teenage kid mm-hmm. who was trying to figure his life out, and I remember getting things back from the syndicates. And if you're not familiar with how syndication works in the newspapers, you wind up working for a house, so to speak, right. that distribute your comic around the country. So you can be in 200, 300 papers. But as we all know, the newspapers are dying.
It's dead.
Right. Or it's almost deaded. Yeah. And, you know, I got things back like, well, we have a black strip already, so...
Ooh.
Like that's
enough. That's enough.
We have Curtis. So
yeah, I was about to say 97 was probably Curtis.
It was just Curtis. Yeah. Boondocks wasn't around. No. It was Curtis.
We don't need any more representation. Thanks.
Thank you though.
We have Wee Pals. Thanks.
Yeah, I was about to say either Curtis or Wee Pals or Jumpstart. That was pretty much
Jumpstart.
And he, you know, Rob Armstrong was a big influence on me. I met him a couple of times, and I was just like, yo, how can I be down? You know,
it's like there can only be one.
Three Highlandered me. Yeah.
Stay in your lane, boy.
To the kings and princes of the universe. Come on, you know I'm
waiting for,
the
drop.
I am immortal.
Yeah,
the sunny blood of kings.
Yeah,
meow,
meow.
Just that one cat in the
meow, meow. They let him in the studio. But so
the executives of WHYY are like, what if we die?
What if we do?
What's going
no!
on?
We have made a mistake.
So I
thank you. You're done.
Security.
All right.
Security.
Security.
I went that route, and then I realized how hard it was. Not like comics aren't hard, but mm-hmm. comic strips is like a whole level.
It's another level, man.
Like, how are you going to do a daily strip where you only have 3 panels to tell a story?
Right.
And then continue that till you get to Saturday.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Sunday's a double strip where people who probably don't buy the paper all week will read the Sunday. Yeah. So it has
so
to
that
make
has
sense.
To have the
has to be a standalone.
Right. Right. It has to stand alone. So after all that and just seeing that I wasn't built for that, I kind of stumbled into comic books. I was like, yo, I can use 24 pages to tell a story, or 22 pages rather than 3 panels. Let me try this. So I started doing weekly comics.
Okay.
And then I kind of jumped into self-publishing, and that's kind of where the lane I stayed in. And I've gotten a couple of kind of mainstream things. I did an Image book that never went anywhere.
Really?
Yeah.
Which one?
Radiskull and Devil Doll for Devil's Due / Image.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Devil's and I Due. Did, yeah, Devil's Due.
Yeah, I remember
Blaylock. And I did one issue, and they even put me in their advertising, like mixtape books. New book coming out, Radiskull and Devil Doll, Jamar Nicholas art, and it never came out. But that's how comics are.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, so I, from where I am now, fast forward, I've been doing graphic novels and things like that, and you know, I tell my own stories. I have web comics that I've been doing for a long time, and I have an audience from that.
Yeah.
And I haven't really found the need to go into monthly mainstream stuff. I mean, plus it's just a backbreaker, but, you know, I kind of have my thing now. So.
Yeah. And a beautiful part about the internet is that you can do that. You can put it out there, find your audience.
Yeah.
We were talking to Brad Geiger.
Yeah, I love Brad. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And think, his strip is only in the Daily News.
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know... He likes having it in the Daily News to people, but he's making his bread off online.
Right.
The internet.
Interwebs.
And you know, I can't say enough how lucky I am that the world kind of caught up to us at the very exact moment it did. You know, as everybody has a chance to eat now or ply your trade or, you know, have your work seen, where even in 97 – it wasn't out there like that, you know. You know, I was like up on the Prodigy message board trying to figure out how I can upload something.
Prodigy,
for real.
Yeah, it took it back.
Yo, I was on all of that AOL.
That brings us to today and your newest release that's going to be coming out, which is Leon. Leon, the protector of the playground.
That's right. Yes.
That is pretty hot, man, because it's all about, and I'm going to give you all the 30-second pitch on Leon.
No spoilers.
Spurlers.
What do you do when you're a kid hero with the rarest superpower of them all, common sense? Cheer on Leon as he battles the weirdest group of pint-sized super bullies ever assembled at Robert Guillaume Elementary.
You ever think about the fact that Robert Guillaume went from butler to lieutenant governor in the span of a few years on from soap to the show Benson?
Oh, man, I love soap.
Like, that's gangster. I remember
that is gangster.
Mm-hmm. I used to watch soap.
Yeah.
We're talking about Leon, protector of the playground.
Yes.
Where did this idea come from, man?
Okay, so as most comic book types do, or have, we all have sketchbooks.
Yes.
And I put this character in a sketchbook maybe in 93, something like that.
That far, that long ago.
Yeah, you know, I have a filing cabinet in my studio just with, like, that's the archives, man. And you just come up with stuff, and then you go through a point where you're trying to, you know, put things in order, and I'm not the most orderly person. So I had this little idea of this kid, and it's changed a lot. And, you know, when the book comes out, you'll see some of the differences. But I had this idea, when I'm putting all my stuff out there, what if Batman and Robin existed, but Batman went out for cigarettes and never came back?
Wow.
And Robin was just stuck in the Batcave.
Just waiting.
Yeah. And he's just like, I guess I need to fight some crime. And he's got all the stuff that he doesn't know how to use. Like the Batmobile. It's like, yo, I'm 9. I don't know how to use this stuff. You know, and I just wrote all these sketches, and I thought that was kind of interesting. How do I put that together? And that was kind of the kernel for Leon.
Okay.
And just fast forward like a lot of years.
Right.
To where I've... And it's funny, and I'm sure you guys know when you do it yourself. Sometimes you come up with ideas, and it's just not time yet to do anything with
them.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So what was really important to me at the time was I think we were going through the moment where everything was hyper-violent in comics. Like, Kick-Ass came out.
Yeah.
And people were really, like, on that. Like, yo, look how bloody that kid is in the book. That's dope. And I was like, I need something that's not so harsh.
Yeah.
Word.
You know? So intense.
Yeah, word. You know, but also, you
thank
know.
Thank
you. Oh, thanks.
For real.
And I also wanted to put out a black voice and a black face to a character since Static Shock kind of came and went.
Right.
And I thought maybe it's time to put Leon out. So since then, it's changed a lot. Where in the book you had the kind of absentee father. I kind of add a lot of kind of, you know, real stuff into my books and make you think once in a while. Instead of him, like, he's not really around, but he's raised by his mother, who is kind of like the Wonder Woman of this city.
Okay. So like the actual Wonder Woman, like, she's a hero.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
So since everybody knows who he is, he just goes to school in costume. And he just gets it popping at recess.
Nice.
So, and he also has a rogues gallery of little kid villains who are kind of like, you know, the sons and daughters of the old retired villains.
I peeped that because I was reading your little synopsis here, and, like, he's got villains such as Broccoli Rob.
Oh, that's my dude. Yeah.
Really?
That's awesome.
That is awesome. And then this is one that Jay will appreciate. Yoren Nathan.
Yes.
So what he does is he sneaks into kids' bedrooms at night and pees the bed.
Oh my God.
It pees a bed and gets the kids in trouble when they wake up in the morning.
That is so villainous.
Wow.
Right? How gangster is that?
Leon, the protector of the playground, is this going to actually be like a graphic novel that
yes.
you're going to be
yeah.
putting out?
You know, just with my schedule and the way the world goes, I've been picking at it for a while.
Mm.
And it's almost ready. It's almost ready. I can see it. I can see the end of the tunnel. So what I'm saying is that it's going to be out this spring.
Spring of 2015.
Yeah.
So can people go on to JamarNicholas.com and like see like some preview art of Leon there?
Yes, they can.
Can they pre-order the book?
Yes, they can.
There you go.
I have to go and run and do that. Yes, you can pre-order that.
Get that pre-order.
Right. And I'm really excited about it. You know how sometimes people use it as a badge of honor to say, this thing took 7 years to make.
Right.
I'm doing that now. It's like, you know, this took me a lot of time to do.
Yeah, this was marinating.
Right.
You can go to JamarNicholas.com, ladies and gentlemen, and get that pre-order because, you know, Jamar, he's a humble man, but he's doing this on his own.
Yes.
Okay? This is not, he doesn't have Marvel behind him. He doesn't have DC behind him. So go to JamarNicholas.com, ladies and gentlemen, and get your pre-order because let me tell you, if you go there and you look at the preview art of Leon, he is such a cute character, man. There's so much energy in your art, man.
Thank you.
I will say what I didn't have the heart to say years ago when we first met.
Yeah.
And we kind of like started like showing each other's work and stuff like that. And we talked about, I mean, we should collaborate on something.
Yeah,
I was let's do that.
Yeah, I love those strips you were doing.
I was trying, man. I was trying. But I wasn't ready for you, dog. You got the gift, man. Thanks, you got the gift. I'm not even going to front on you, man. So I'm so happy to. For all your success, and I like to say that I had a small part in it.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
But now has come the time for you to be officially inducted into the Tribble Nation. As we will do every month here on Tribble Nation, we make all of our guests one with us.
To earn the
nom de plume of Scribble Tribble, you will have to take the Tribble Oath of Allegiance.
Okay.
And to do that, we will turn matters over to our Master of Ceremony, EMAC, the Master Tribble.
All right. So from here on out, it's a fairly painless procedure. All you have to do is raise your right hand to Stan Lee and your left hand to DC and repeat after me.
All right.
I'm a Tribble furry.
I'm a Tribble furry.
I'm a Tribble true.
I'm a Tribble true.
From the way I roll.
From the way I roll.
To the way I coo.
To the way I coo.
So shall it be said, so shall it be done. Welcome.
Welcome.
Tribble
Jamar Nicholas.
To the nation. Stand and be counted.
Scribble Tribble.
Scribble Tribble. Scribble
One of us.
One of us.
Scribble
Tribble.